حي على الفلاح.
The month of Ramadan has come, a blessed month in which Allah Almighty has obligated you to fast. In it, the gates of heavens are open, and in it, the gates of hellfire are closed, and in it, the devils are chained. And in it is a night that is better than 1,000 months. Thus, whoever is deprived of its good is truly deprived. In another narration, the Prophet said, on the first night of the month of Ramadan, the devils are chained, the jinn are restrained, and the gates of hellfire are closed, and none of its gates are open. The gates of paradise are open, and none of its gates are closed. A heavenly caller announces, O seeker of good, come near. O seeker of evil, stop short. Allah will save them from the hellfire. And that is during every night of Ramadan. O you who believe, observing a sawm, the fasting, is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become al-muttaqoon, the pious. During Ramadan, the believers get busy seeking Allah's mercy, forgiveness, and protection from hellfire. This is the month for renewing our commitment and re-establishing our relationship with our Creator. If we combine all the blessings of the other 11 months, they would not add up to the blessings of Ramadan. It offers every Muslim an opportunity to strengthen his iman, purify his heart and soul, and to remove the evil effects of the sins committed by him. Anyone who fasts during this month with purity of belief and with expectation of a good reward will have his previous sins forgiven. Anyone who stands in prayers during its nights with purity of belief and expectation of a reward will have his previous sins forgiven. As the other ahadith tells us, the rewards for good deeds are multiplied manifold during Ramadan. Along with the possibility of a great reward, there is the risk of a terrible loss. If we let any other month pass by carelessly, we just lost a month. If we do the same during Ramadan, we have lost everything. The person who misses just one day's fast without a legitimate reason cannot really make up for it, even if he were to fast every day for the rest of his life. And of the three persons that Prophet ﷺ cursed, one is the unfortunate Muslim who finds Ramadan in good health but does not use the opportunity to seek Allah's mercy. One who does not fast is obviously in this category. But so also is the person who fasts and prays but makes no effort to stay away from sins or attain purity of the heart through the numerous opportunities offered by Ramadan. The Prophet ﷺ warned us, there are those who get nothing from their fast but hunger and thirst. There are those who get nothing from their nightly prayers but loss of sleep. Those who understood this, for them, Ramadan was indeed a very special month. In addition to fasting, mandatory salat, and extra taraweeh salat, they spent the whole month in acts of worship like voluntary salat, tilawa, recitation of Quran, dhikr, etc. Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadvi notes, I have seen with my own eyes such ulama and mashaykh who used to finish recitation of the entire Quran every day during Ramadan. They spent almost the entire night in prayers. They used to eat so little that one wondered how they could endure all this. These greats valued every moment of Ramadan and would not waste any of it in any other pursuit. Watching them made one believe the astounding stories of ibadah and devotion of our elders recorded by history. Allah prescribed the holy month to the believers in order to rectify their actions and purify their soul with the goal of attaining piety. The reason for this authorization by the Most High Lord is far beyond the rewards. It entails physical, spiritual, and mental benefits which many of us often take for granted. We will look at 10 benefits of fasting in the month of Ramadan. Number 1, forgiveness. It is important to the point that the Messenger, peace be upon him, said, "Cursed is he who witnesses the blessed month but doesn't earn Allah's forgiveness." So repent and brace for Allah's mercy. Anas radiallahu anh says, "I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, Allah the Almighty said, 'O son of Adam, so long as you call upon me and ask of me, I shall forgive you. O son of Adam, were your sins to reach the clouds of the sky, and were you then to ask forgiveness of me, I would forgive you. O son of Adam, were you to come to me with sins nearly as great as the earth, and were you then to face me, ascribing no partner to me, I would bring you forgiveness nearly as great as it." Number 2, steadfastness. Since the goal of Ramadan is to attain piety, then you should brace up with good deeds. Increase your goodness, not only in the blessed month, but beyond. Ramadan gives you a chance to scale up righteousness and keep it as a habit. The Prophet said, "Whoever draws near to Allah during it, Ramadan, with a single characteristic from the characteristics of voluntary goodness, he is like whoever performs an obligatory act in other times. And whoever performs an obligatory act during it, he is like whoever performed 70 obligatory acts in other times." Between the hours of sunrise and sunset, you should be encouraging yourself to do a good deed, whether it be connecting with a friend or relative that lives alone, helping an elderly neighbor, helping in the community, or even a small contribution to a charity of your choice. The list is endless, and the choice is yours. Every act of kindness will make the world a better place. Number 3, protection. In the famous hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he reported the Prophet, peace be upon him, to have said, "Fasting is a shield. Not only does it ward off evils and immoralities from us, it also prevents us from following the footpath of shaitan." So if you find people keeping to bad habit in Ramadan and blaming it on shaitan, remind them of this hadith. When the month of Ramadan begins, the gates of heavens are open, the gates of hell are closed, and the devils are chained. Thus the accursed shaitan, Satan, has no influence over the committed believers. His influence extends only to those who expose themselves to sin and violate Allah's rules in this blessed month. As a result, it is no wonder that their religious immunity is weakened by the satanic penetration. Thus, they themselves provided the helping tool for the accursed Satan to weaken their immunity. Number 4, reflection. This is a time for us all to rethink and reform our ways. Remember how Allah favored you to witness the last Ramadan. Some did observe the previous fasting, but are companions of the grave today. Think about the numerous sins you've committed and determine not to return to them. Express gratitude for all the favors Allah has endowed you with and commit yourself to be a better you in Ramadan and beyond. All of us hold a grudge from time to time. and find it hard to forgive a friend, loved one, or co-worker who has slighted us. During Ramadan, people take time to pray and practice self-reflection. It is also a time to seek forgiveness, apologize, and settle arguments. Letting go of anger and resentment is a good practice that helps us move beyond petty differences and focus on the good in our relationships. And self-reflection is an important part of letting go of old issues. Number 5, detoxification. Abstaining from eating and drinking enhances the metabolic process of the body. This is done by naturally expelling body toxins and systematically reducing the rate of food consumption. So it's really not about how much you eat and store. It's the patience and perseverance that really keeps the body in shape. Our soulful minds and bodies are the precious gifts of the Almighty Allah, which we are all supposed to treat respectfully, protecting it from every word woe. A wealthy mind resides in a healthy body. Therefore, it is advised to keep our bodies healthy, be it mentally, spiritually, emotionally, or physically. Number 6, accountability. Ramadan helps you stay on track. You consciously take into cognizance what you say, eat, do, etc. Most often, people get to abandon their sinful ways as a result of reformation. This is because the holy month gives room for reflection in order to assess one's progress as the days count. The Quran also warns us about our actions and deeds. It says, O you who believe, fear Allah, and let every soul consider what it has forwarded for the Day of Judgment. And fear Allah. Allah is aware of what you do. It was narrated from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, the son of Adam will not pass away from Allah until he is asked about 5 things: how he lived his life, how he utilized his youth, with what means did he earn his wealth, how did he spend his wealth, and what did he do with his knowledge. Therefore, we all should be careful what we are doing in this life. It should always be kept in our mind that each and every second of our life is counted, and we are moving forward to the final life, life of the hereafter. Number 7, emancipation. This blessed period comes with a big bonus: ransom from hell and admission into paradise. In a beautiful narration, Abu Hurairah reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, said, on the first night of the month of Ramadan, the devils are chained, the jinn are restrained, and the gates of hellfire are closed, and none of its gates are open. The gates of paradise are open, and none of its gates are closed. A caller announces, O seeker of good, come near. O seeker of evil, stop short. Allah will save them from the hellfire, and that is during every night of Ramadan. Number 8, bonding with the Quran. Unfortunately, the majority of us do not have any relationship with the Quran. Since we're in Ramadan, the blessed month of the Quran, now is the opportunity to change this sad state of affairs. Given the state of most Muslims today, any discussion about the maximum recommended amount to read daily in Ramadan or outside Ramadan would be purely academic. I doubt any of us will attempt to read the Quran 60 times every Ramadan, as Imam al-Shafi'i used to do, or to spend the night reciting the entire Quran in a single rak'ah, as Uthman bin Affan did. Yes, it's authentic. In fact, Sa'id bin Jubair and Imam Ahmad have done it as well. I won't regale you with all the narrations about how much the Salaf used to recite the Quran during Ramadan. To do as they did is something far beyond any of us, given that most of us hardly read the Quran at all. However, as a side note, I would like to share this one account for all of us to ponder. The Khalifa, Walid bin Abdul al-Malik, used to complete the Quran every 3 days, and he used to read it a full 17 times during Ramadan. Now to the real issue, what should we do to rectify our situation? If you have not been reading the Quran during Ramadan in the past, then decide how much time you can reasonably take out of your schedule to read Quran daily. Don't push yourself to do too much. Otherwise, you'll end up right back where you started, not reading the Quran at all. Also remember, the most beloved deeds to Allah are those done regularly, even if they're small. Therefore, you must make a Ramadan schedule that you can stick to. Number 9, humility and empathy. Humility is not accepting a state of humiliation. Rather, humility is about entering into a state of illumination, a state where a person realizes how dependent they really are on God and divine blessings in creation, where a person truly understands how little they really know and how much more there is to learn, and where a person is able to see the good in others such that they never feel superior to anyone else. As always, the path to humility begins by examining one's own heart and then striving to purify it from the most subtle and most manifest traces of arrogance. The Quran asks us to consider our humble origins as just a drop of fluid, and to further consider how we were then slowly fashioned and nurtured into full functioning human beings, not of our own accord, but through a higher power and compassionate caretakers. Reflecting on this will tame the boastful ego. This will also bring us to empathy, to cultivate the ability to feel someone else's pain. As we regularly feel the discomfort of hunger and thirst, we gain a glimpse into what it is like for those who have no choice but to be hungry and thirsty every single day. There are people struggling with food insecurity, not just in remote countries, but also right here in our own country. And fasting helps us feel their pain, suffering, loneliness, poverty, and hunger. In a way, it connects us as humans. And finally, number 10, growth. One of the most important gains from Ramadan is the ability to evolve, to transform from a previous you to the new you, the one whom hopefully has gone through a spiritual rebirth that will propel for the rest of the year. Ramadan comes to teach piety, so we are expected to keep up with good deeds and abstain from evil as much as we can. If you can achieve this, then count yourself among the fortunate ones who gained immensely from the blessed month.